Shar HaSimcha, the Gate of Happiness, it really is a beautiful Shar in Yorcha Sadikim, and it has quite a twist, because he goes in directions, spends a lot of time on something you might not necessarily associate with Simcha, but I think you'll see very quickly that the major theme of the Shar HaSimcha has a lot to do with being happy. He begins by telling us that a person is besimcha when they are calm, they are not afflicted, and if a person gets what he wants and is not sad about anything, well then technically you should always be happy. That's really how things should go in life. And that's how we often think life should play out. If I have no struggles and I have no difficulties, then everything will be great and I'll be happy. He says, on the other hand though, that simcha is a problem if it leads to schok, silliness. It becomes out of hand. A person doesn't know how to be respectful, doesn't know how to be calm when it's appropriate to be calm. And this is when a person acts inappropriately. They make jokes at the wrong time. It's not proper for someone with yiras shemayim, with a fear of heaven, to act in a silly way in public. And that's taking simcha too far. So let's begin. We're going to first talk about simcha in the improper way. What's an improper place to rejoice, to be happy? And then we'll spend most of the time talking about what is a proper showing of simcha, of being happy. Where is simcha a bad midah? He says the first thing is happiness when somebody else fails. That's a big one. You shouldn't rejoice when your enemy falls. Certainly you shouldn't rejoice when anybody fails. Worse than that is happiness when someone else fails in ruchnias and avodas Hashem. You see somebody, you know, mess up, you know, not doing well in their avodas Hashem, and not being successful. So there, says the Orcha Sadikim, is a place that it is totally inappropriate to show simcha. We are all Ovdei Hashem. We are all servants of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it should make us sad when another Eved Hashem fails. If you're happy when others mess up, it means you're not a true Eved who's serving Hashem. You're not in it to serve Hashem, you're in it to serve yourself. You should never ever rejoice when somebody else stumbles in avodas Hashem. And this is why Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana had a special tefillah. Some of you may say it in your siddur. It's at the end of Shachris and many siddurim. It's a Gemara in Brachos. He has a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chav Ches, says that Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana had a tefillah where he davened that other people should not make mistakes in the learning and not mess up. And when we daven for Das and Shemone Esrei, for Teshuva, for Slicha and Shemone Esrei, we should be thinking of all of Klal Yisrael. We want all Jewish people to succeed. We want all Jewish people to do well. Another area of improper simcha is laughing at those who are serious about mitzvos and avodas Hashem, making fun of people who are trying to do the right thing. He says, first of all, it lowers the importance of mitzvos in your eyes. You don't come to respect mitzvos. It will cause the person who's doing the right thing to be embarrassed, and it may lead them on the wrong path because they don't want to be laughed at. It will prevent people who want to grow from growing, because people will see you laughing at somebody who's doing a mitzvah or doing the right thing, and they'll say, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want people to laugh at me, and I'm not going to grow. And finally, says the Orcha Sadikim, it just shows that you hate Hashem. That you hate Hashem. Could you laugh at another person doing mitzvahs, or laugh at another person trying to strive and be better? It just shows that you have no respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another aspect where you shouldn't have simcha is over taiva for averos, to the desire to do wrong things. It shouldn't make you happy to have a desire to do sin. And another area you shouldn't have simcha is drinking alcohol. Socially, alcoholism, things like that. The love of being simcha through drinking leads to bad midos and improper behavior. And this goes really for all addictions. There shouldn't be no rejoicing in any addictive, damaging behavior. You know, wine can bring proper simcha when it's drunk in moderation, with good people, with good midos, l'shem shemayim. You know, for example, Shabbos and Yontif, to make someone besimcha so they can, you know, learn besimcha as well, not too much drinking. A rabbi's not allowed to pass on a shiloh if he drank too much wine. But wine in the right way can bring people to simcha when it's used in moderation for the right reasons. Another area simcha is bad is not to have simcha in hevlei olam hazeh, in foolish, silly things in this world. If you only have simcha in gashmias, in physical things, then you will not find simcha in more spiritual things. A person should try to train themselves to have real rejoicing in things that are spiritual, things that are uplifting, and not in physical things. And finally, says the Orcha Sadikim, don't be besimcha when something is good for you, but at the same time it's bad for somebody else. For example, I have food. I'm so happy that I have food. But because I have food, this person is hungry. Don't be happy if, you know, somebody dies, but you get a large inheritance. Ah, I got $500,000 from my, you know, wealthy aunt who died. But she died. Well, you shouldn't be besimcha over that. Don't be besimcha when your gain comes at the loss of another person. This is basic v'ahavta recha kamocha. Yeah, Abby. Yeah.
For you to win, I mean, someone else has to lose.
That's right. So it should come with a sense, perhaps it should come with a sense of, well, it's not real. Let me clarify. The case of valedictorian is very specific because nobody really lost in the case of valedictorian. You know, nobody really lost. Well, you don't know that because we don't tell you the results. We don't tell you the results, so you don't know that. But so Elise's question is about, what about a transplant? Now, a person gets a transplant, but it means that somebody died. So 100%, it would seem to be that, I hear the question, it's a tough balance. Now, your simcha is coming from somebody else's death. So, you know, in most cases, the receiving party of a transplant doesn't know who they come from, so you don't really know the circumstances. In most cases, you know, unless it's a kidney, you know, the issue is going to come up over here. So I hear the question. It would seemingly be, according to Orcha Sadikim, one should not be besimcha. It's hard to say. You know, I just received a life, you know, saving transplant. But I definitely hear the question. Definitely falls into his category. Yeah, Leora.
How do you, make yourself not feel a certain way?
It comes through training. It doesn't happen like that. It comes through being conscientious, being conscious, just, you know, thinking. You know, the Torah says, how can you be commanded to love Hashem? So the Mefarshim explained that you do certain actions that bring you to that emotion. It's the same thing over here. The way you conduct yourself, the way you talk, it takes time, and it doesn't happen overnight. But for certain things, you can, you know, and even if it might only be outward, you know, if I can control inwardly versus outward, or I can, you know, come to think about it and maybe change my perception, I think that's what we're talking about over here. Kelly. Good. So it needs to be in balance, and it needs to be in context to everything else. We'll talk about this a little bit more later on when we talk about the positive types of simcha, but it needs to be comparatively. You know, as much it shouldn't be, it doesn't mean you should be sad when you have good physical things, but it needs to be weighed against, you know, what else is making me happy. On my scale of what's making me happy, we need to see, you know, where those things land and how they compare to other things. Tamar.
Isn't there a difference between, happiness and simcha? They're a little bit different.
I think that is the translation of simcha, no?
I feel like simcha is more, like content, like, internal. Like, happiness, it changes based on, who you're around or stuff like that.
I hear. Let's see how he defines simcha, and when we get into the proper types of simcha, and then we'll maybe have a better understanding. What if you laugh at someone? That's a very specific example. So there is a difference here between, you know, silliness and being besimcha, and some of that comes with maturity. You know, The things that you find hilarious when you're 17, 18 years old are not often as hilarious when you are 27 and 28 or you're 37 and 38. Some of it comes just with, you know, maturity over time. Tamar, what was your question? I didn't catch that. You shouldn't make the line gashus to make you happy. I hear. There is a place for gashmis. I don't want you to walk out of here thinking that, you know, you can't have any physical nice things in your life. That's not the point. The point is that this should all lead towards an end of what our goals are in this world, which we're going to talk about now. Let's begin to discuss what is proper simcha. Where is simcha a good midah? Simcha, when dealing with challenges in life, you know, even after, you know, doing tshuva, a person is still dealing with challenges, then you should be happy because Hashem is giving you challenges here, so that He will have to repay you more in Olam Haba. In order to have simcha with dealing challenges, you need four things. And that's what we're really going to spend the bulk of our time on tonight. Simcha, being happy when dealing with challenges in life. There are no such things as not having challenges. Everyone will have challenges. But there's a way to deal with them and to interact with them and to be able to handle them in a proper way. Now, the Orach HaTzaddikim says there are four things that you need in order to have simcha, to overcome challenges. The first is seichel. Now, I have a question here. Seichel means having intellect, having a brain. Now, we're going to note that he's going to talk about four things, but really only speaks about three. There are no other lines in the Orach HaTzaddikim about seichel, especially how it relates to simcha and bitachon, which we're going to talk about in a moment. So I was a bit bothered. So I actually sent a question to a very big Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael the other day. His name is Rav Moshe Tzuriel. He's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, an expert in machshava. And I asked him this question. I said, the Orach HaTzaddikim says you need to have seichel, and he doesn't go on to talk about it at all. So he wrote back to me that he thought it was a good question, and he said that perhaps he did write a comment about the aspect of seichel, about having a proper head on your shoulders when it comes to the things we're going to talk about right now, and maybe a few lines, but perhaps the copyist who was copying over the words of the Orach HaTzaddikim at a certain point, you know, hundreds of years ago, made a mistake and skipped the line and maybe left something out. So he thought that's a possibility, but again, it's hard to really extrapolate over here because he says seichel is one thing. The other thing is histapkus, which we'll talk about in a moment, which has to do with being sufficient with what you have, being sameach b'chelko. The third thing you need to be happy in life is emunah. If you have a relationship with Hashem, you'll be able to trust in Hashem. And if you know that Hashem loves you and takes care of you, you'll be willing to put in time and effort in that relationship as well. And you'll be besimcha when Hashem judges you, and you'll know because you know there's a greater reward at the end of the day. And you'll not be afraid of any person, and you'll be besimcha in all situations. And that is number three, having a relationship with Hashem. And finally, and what we're really going to talk about tonight is bitachon. Says the Orach HaTzaddikim, if you trust in Hashem, then you will focus on your avodas Hashem and Torah, and everything else in the world will not disturb you, and you will truly be besimcha. Yes, Kelly.
What's the difference between emunah and bitachon?
Excellent, excellent question. So that is an old discussion. The Ramban has an essay called Emunah v'Bitachon. The Chazon Ish has an essay called Emunah v'Bitachon, and they both come to a similar understanding. Emunah is the theory. Emunah is the relationship. Emunah is the feeling that you have a relationship with Hashem and that Hashem is there. It's the belief that there's Hashem. And not just the belief, but the feeling that there's a God who's with you all the time. Bitachon is putting that into practice. It's when there's a challenge and now I have to see, is my emunah really there? Do I really believe the things that I feel? And that's the difference. Emunah is theoretical, is potential, and then bitachon is kind of, you know, kinetic, putting it into play when something comes up.
Like putting your trust in Hashem.
Exactly. That you have to now actually do something with that emunah. You have to make a decision that's going to play that emunah out. And that's bitachon. And the premise of the rest of this shiur is as follows. And this is the key. I don't want us to lose focus. Says the Orach HaTzaddikim, if you want to be besimcha in life, you must have bitachon. If you want to be happy, there only comes through a relationship with Hashem and trust in Hashem. So let's begin to discuss bitachon. He says there are seven ideas that a person should think about to strengthen your bitachon. The first thing is that you must know that Hashem has more rachmanis and more mercy on you than any other being. Nobody loves you more than Hashem. That's number one. Number two, all good that you receive from people is really coming from Hashem. Whether it's a teacher, a parent, a sibling, a police officer, someone in the store who gave you, you know, extras, something like whatever it may be, all goodness that you receive in this world is simply coming from Hashem, and these are their messengers, and these are the messengers to bring it to you. 3, all good comes from the chesed of Hashem, and not necessarily because you deserve it. There are many good things that you have in your life, not because you earn them, but rather because Hashem is really nice to you. 4, you cannot change the amount or timing of a gzeir of Hashem. You cannot make something happen more. You cannot make something happen less, earlier or later, if it is not Hashem's decision. You can't change it. You can may change whether you have A or B, but the amount of time you're going to have A or B, or when A or B is going to come, is not up to you. Then why do we daven? So we daven, says Rav Yosef Albo in the Sefer Ikrim, we daven because tefillah changes us. As Rav Hirsch writes, lehispalel is a reflexive verb in Hebrew. It means you are doing it through yourself. You're changing yourself. But the hope is that by davening, you change who you are as a person. Originally, this gzeira, this, you know, decision in Shemaim was for, you know, A, person A. And now that you've changed yourself, you've made yourself higher and better, and you become a better human being, well, that original decree was for person A, but now I'm A+. And therefore, that decree from before doesn't apply. And now I get a new decree from Hashem, a new, you know, lease on life, so to speak, a new opportunity, because I've changed who I am. That's how tefillah works. That's according...
I don't get... Like, let's say someone's sick and you're dogging for them. Like,
yeah.
So it's okay, like, it helps you to help them, but that's not changing their sickness.
It will change who they are. Your tefillos will alter them into a different person, so to speak. It's as if they have a new DNA, a new spiritual DNA, and whatever was determined for that person before will now not apply anymore because of your tefillos. Okay?
So
what?
Then it is shortened.
So not necessarily whether the sickness will be there or not be there, you can change. But according to the Orcha Sadikim, and there may be others who disagree, but we're just learning the Orcha Sadikim for right now, that you can't change the amount or the timing of the gzeira. You can change if it will be or if it will not be, but whatever timing was determined, he says you can't change. But again, we can. There's what other people may debate that. Yeah, Abby. I guess technically there was what to say, but there's a difference between having and not having versus, you know, having for a week, having for 2 weeks. There's a technical difference. The next thing you must have for bitachon is that Hashem knows if your bitachon is real or not. You can't fool him. You can't trick him. Hashem knows if you have true trust or if your trust is just lip service. The sixth is that having bitachon but not doing mitzvos and avoiding averus is a waste of time.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah. Correct. But you're not trying to trick anyone. You're not trying to trick yourself. You're saying, I am doing my best to have this level of bitachon. I'm doing the best I can to try to feel this way. But don't think that you're going to be tricking Hashem. That's what he's saying. You're not going to outsmart him and say, you know, I said I feel this way, but really, no. He knows exactly what's going on. Kelly.
Hashem's going to get me in, like, this is, I know Hashem is able, like, and has the power to get me in, and then I hush on, like, I don't get into the seminary I want to go to, and then I'm very disappointed, because I'm like, I had a Muna, Hashem was going to get me in, and he didn't.
Okay. There is a difference between Emunah and Bitachon, and we need to define for a second what Bitachon is and what it's not. Bitachon, according to many understandings, does not mean that everything is going to turn out the way you want it. That's not bitachon. Now, Rabbi Pesach Kron tells a story that when he was a young man, his father was very sick. Subsequently, his father would pass away from this disease. His father was very, very sick. And his father was in a hospital in Washington Heights. And over Shabbos, they would often stay in the house of Rav Shimon Schwab. And they would go walk to visit his father in the hospital on Shabbos. So one Shabbos morning, the Rabbi Kron and his brothers came back from visiting the father in the hospital. And they went to the Suda with Rabbi Schwab and his family. And as they walked into the apartment, so Rabbi Schwab asked Rabbi Kron, "How's your father doing?" And Rabbi Kron said, "I have bitachon that things are going to work out fine." So Rabbi Schwab got very serious. And he looked at Rabbi Kron and he said, "That's not what bitachon means. Bitachon means that Hashem has a plan. And that whatever that plan is, you are along for the ride. And that you trust that Hashem is running the world and that Hashem knows what's for the best. Bitachon doesn't mean that I'm going to have Hashem bend to my will. That's not bitachon. That's Hashem trusting in you. Bitachon means that you trust in Hashem. That, using the seminary example, if you don't get into that seminary, then that's the Ratzon Hashem. And then you're okay with that. Because that's what Hashem wanted for me. That's what bitachon means. Bitachon doesn't mean that I'm sitting here in the middle of January and that I know Hashem is going to do what I want him to do. That's not bitachon. Does that make sense?"
Wait, Rabbi Reis.
Yeah.
Are you saying that bitachon means that, like, let's say you're in a situation and you want it to turn out a certain way, but it doesn't, that you still know it's the best and, like, you trust the situation, like, you trust that?
Yes. We'll talk about this a lot more in a moment, okay? The last thing, let's just say this again. Bitachon, the sixth thing is that bitachon, you can't have bitachon and say, "But I'm like Torah mitzvos, like it's not for me." That doesn't work. That's not a thing. You can't say like, "Well, you know, Torah mitzvos are really hard. I'm not so into that stuff. And like doing averos is like not for me, like whatever. But like I love Hashem, so everything's great." That doesn't happen. That's not a thing in Judaism. You need to have Torah mitzvos along with bitachon. And the last thing is that Hashem has given you the tools you need according to the hishtadlus and the effort you put in. And he explains as follows regarding this last point about hishtadlus versus bitachon. And he says, we have two things to do in this world. The one is to make a parnasa and to, you know, be able to support ourselves. Parnasa doesn't just mean your job. It means to be able to support yourself physically in this world and Torah. And it's our job, and that means ruchnias, spiritual things. It's your job to balance them properly. We need both bitachon and hishtadlus. You need to have trust and you have to have effort in order to get bracha from Hashem. But you must understand that parnasa, your well-being in this world, comes from Hashem, and the hishtadlus, the effort, is simply the way of getting that bracha. It's just a tool. Hashem is going to give you whatever you're supposed to get. Your hishtadlus is like creating a kli, it's like creating a cup, so that whatever Hashem wants to give you can fall into something. You should never ever think that it is your independent efforts that give us what you need, give you what you need in life. Your efforts are simply a puppet show, so to speak. It's a show that's necessary so that you don't become lazy. It's a show that's necessary so that Hashem has something to give you that bracha through. And you should never place trust in other people as if they hold the keys to your success. It is only Hashem who is the source of your success. And it's only Hashem who's leading the way, regardless of what the picture looks like to you. And he gives a beautiful mashal. He says there are 100 blind men walking in a line, each one putting his hand on the shoulder of the person in front of them. And at the very front of the line is a man who can see. Now, every single one of those 100 blind men know that he's being guided by the blind man in front of him, correct? Right? The hand on the shoulder in front of me is guiding me my next step. But at the same time, they also truly understand that the person who's really leading the line is the man with sight in front of the line. And if the seeing man would go away for a moment, they would all fall over and they would all collapse. It's the same thing with us and Hashem. We are aware that there are bosses and parents and teachers and people who we think, you know, hold the keys to where we want to go to be successful in life. It's you're holding onto the shoulder of another blind person. Because at the end of the day, the only being that's holding that line together and giving you what you need is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's important to keep in mind. Now he makes the following count. He says that there are 8 areas where you need to work on bitachon with Hashem. The first is your body. He says you need to take care of yourself physically and be healthy, but at the same time recognize that health comes from Hashem. I don't think there has been a greater year in modern history that could show us that. That you have to take care of yourself physically, but at the end of the day, it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can wear masks and social distance, but if it's the Ratzon Hashem that a person should get that disease, then it's going to happen, no matter what you do. And I think this year definitely shows us that. We have to have ishtalus. We have to be safe. We have to do what we need to do to make sure we're safe. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number 2, parnasa, making a living. You must make a parnasa to be able to feed and support yourself and your family. But you also have to understand that it only comes from Hashem. And don't let making a living get in the way of Torah and spirituality, which is the main thing. 3, family and your loved ones. If a person is alone and doesn't have any friends and family, then you should always know that Hashem is the most important relationship you have. You're never alone. Hashem is your best friend. Lily. That's true. But after a person has finished doing their job, so then the rest of the time they have should be spent on spiritual endeavors.
So then when do you spend time with your family?
In a limited amount. There has to be a balance. There's 24 hours in the day, which is never enough time for anybody. But we have to be sensitive, and we also have to start training ourselves now that we need to balance these things. Sometimes it means sacrifice. Sometimes it means, you know, I really want to talk to my friend, but, you know, I need some spiritual nourishment. I need to go read this sefer. I need to go listen to this shiur. I need to do something else. And there's a balance. We have to make sacrifices and balances. It's this balance between hishtadlus and bitachon. Hashem will take care of me, and I'm doing my spiritual needs. And at the same time, I need to take care of people in my life as well. If a person has family, then you should have bitachon that Hashem will take care of them as well. That's part of bitachon. Abby.
For the balance, like what Lily was saying, for the like parnasa and Torah one, is that only like in your week you have to make time for both, or can it be like long term, like over these 5 years I'm going to focus on my parnasa, and in the next 5 years I'm going to focus on my Torah, or is it like that?
That's never going to work. Because if you push off spirituality for 5 years, it's going to be hard to get back into it. It needs to be a balance throughout the day. You know, and you have people in your life who do it. Whether it's a father who, you know, gets up early to go to the Daf Yomi, or stays up late to go to the Daf Yomi to go to a shir, who has a chavrusa early in the morning or late at night, who listens to something in the car or the train. It's all the same thing. It's all this balancing and trying to fit everything together and make the most of every second. Number 4, our chovos halavavos, our things of our heart. We should have bitachon to help us in our avodas Hashem mesos. It's not all up to you. You want to grow spiritually, you want to be successful in your own spiritual growth, you need to dive into Hashem. You need to ask Hashem for help. 5, one should have bitachon when doing chesed for others. We should put in hishtadlus, we should put in the effort to help others, but also understand that you need Hashem to assist you. You can have all the biggest plans for a gemach and an organization and a program how you're going to save the world, but you need to know that Hashem is the one who's going to help you out as well. Next, you have to have bitachon that Hashem has the best plan for you, and this is what we spoke about before, that He doesn't want you to use up your schar in this world, and He will protect you from bad things in this world. Hashem has you in mind and has your back. The 7th is bitachon in the coming of Mashiach and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, that this will be a time of great spiritual awakening, a time of closeness to Hashem, and that the days of Mashiach will come, and that it's all good for us when they will come. And finally, one should have bitachon in Olam Haba, that there will be Olam Haba. We cannot describe or understand Olam Haba, but you must trust that it is there. We cannot understand it because it's a place that's totally spiritual and we're totally physical. Not totally, but mostly physical. It would be like a fish trying to understand the experience of a bird. They're so far apart. They're so different from each other. The experiences are so wild that it can never work. That's what the Orach HaTzaddikim says. You understanding Olam Haba is like a fish understanding what a bird does. If you try to tell a fish, oh, there's this thing that doesn't live in the water and it flies in the air, it would go nuts. It wouldn't get it at all. It's the same thing with us and Olam Haba. Okay. We do not have enough hours in the day right now to discuss Mashiach versus Olam Haba. There's a lot to unpack over there. But yes, the Mashiach and Olam Haba do exist independently and maybe also at the same time, but not for right now. So those are the eight things that you should work on your bitachon with. A few more comments about bitachon as well. He says, true bitachon sometimes means abandoning certain comforts. For example, staying away from things that aren't good for you, standing up for Torah principles, staying away from people who are not good influences on you, focusing on spiritual things instead of physical things. There are sacrifices that come with having bitachon. But at the end of the day, Hashem will treat such a person with chesed. And this is why it said, chesed yisov avenu. Chesed surrounds us. If you do what you're supposed to do, and you make those sacrifices to grow spiritually and connect to Hashem, Hashem will help you out at the end of the day. However, he says, there is no bitachon unless there is first emunah, meaning a relationship with Hashem. To really feel and to understand that there is a Borei Olam, a creator of the world, and that what it says in his Torah is a fact, we have to have emunah. And if we have real emunah, we would be much better at keeping the Torah, because we would have a real sense of schar v'onesh, reward and punishment. And real avodas Hashem can only begin with a strong sense of emunah. And what I mean by emunah is a real relationship with Hashem. That you wake up in the morning and you go through your day and you go to sleep at night feeling that Hashem is with you every step of the way. Now what I described is not easy. It takes time to develop it. It takes time to get there, but you need to work on it if you want to get there. Constantly training yourself to have God consciousness, being aware that Hashem is with you all the time in everything you do, it takes time and effort. I would always recommend the beautiful Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, which is a favorite of mine, which is a whole Sefer that deals with how to train oneself to acquire this God consciousness and this awareness of Hashem at all time. That's what it means to have Emunah. Emunah does not mean that things are going to be good all the time, and that, you know, that I post, you know, something on Instagram that says, you know, Baruch Hashem, and therefore everything is great. That is cheap and shallow without any meaning. Emunah is something that is internal. It's something that nobody else knows about. It's something you don't share with other people. It's in a relationship with Hashem, an experience between you and Hashem and nobody else. Was there a question? Yeah, Tamar.
Just quick, what was the book called? I just said here.
The book is called Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Okay. He continues as follows, and he says, if a person has a true sense of bitachon, then he will always be besimcha. And this is the point we want to get to. If you have real bitachon, you'll always be happy, and you'll deal with pressures in life in a happy way. If you're besimcha, and you're sameach b'chelka, you're happy with what you have, then you'll be happy with what is going on, no matter what the circumstances are. And in addition, such a person will be besimcha when undergoing challenges, yisurim. The Gemara in Taina says, "Kol ha-sameach b'yisurim mevi yeshul olam." Whoever rejoices in difficulties and challenges brings Yeshua, brings saving to the world. We should get in the habit of saying, "Gamzu l'tova," or "Kol David Rachman l'tav Avid." This is for the good, or everything Hashem does is for the good. And when something unfortunate or annoying happens to us, we should be besimcha, because it's part of Hashem's plan. And like a person who gets injured and can't go on a trip and later finds out, you know, that the boat sank, Hashem has a plan for us. Hashem has something in store for us. And every single trip up and every single difficulty that comes up is all part of Hashem's master plan. And that's what it means to have bitachon. Yeah, Lily.
Well, like, I don't get it.
house full of children crashes and they all die. Like,
yeah.
How do you say, like, how can you be happy and rejoice?
We're not describing the same thing. Tragedy is tragedy. There's no mitzvah to have achzarios, to be cruel, and to not be feeling. If someone dies, so then it's appropriate to be sad. If there's pain, it's appropriate to feel that pain. It's not the same thing as challenges. Did you hear the difference? Sometimes, or very often with people, challenges make them sad. I can't do it. It's too much. Everything is terrible. Everything is bad. That is not okay. That a person needs to develop a sense of bitachon. Pain and suffering, when there's tragedy, should be felt. You should be no sabal mechaver. You should feel when somebody else is in pain. That's 100% correct. Do you hear the difference? Okay. Let's finish up. There's a few more things about simcha, a few more examples of good simcha, and then we'll take some questions. So we're off the bitachon track now. Let's go back to some other examples of good simcha. Simcha in avodas Hashem and mitzvos is very important. If a person has simcha of doing a mitzvah, simcha in learning Torah, the reward is so much more if there's no simcha. And the reason is that this is what the neshama desires. Your neshama wants spiritual things and it gives it the greatest pleasure. And when the neshama is happy, then you will be happy. Hashras Hashchina, the presence of Hashem, only occurs to someone who's besimcha. We know the Nevi'im only got Nevuah when they were happy. When they were besimcha, that's why they would play music to put them in a good mood. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav Beis says that there were two brothers who were once found in the marketplace in the Shuk. And Eliyahu Navi told one of the Rabbanim that he was standing next to, he said, those two people have a chelik in Olam Haba. So the rabbi went over to the men and said, what do you do? And they said to him, we're comedians. We cheer people up who are depressed. We make people happy. We're comedians. So you see that making people happy connects them to Hashem. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed says that before giving shiurim and different lectures, different rabbis would begin with a joke to get people's besimcha, to get them in the mood, to get them to be happy, because you can learn much better when you're happy. Another type of simcha, simchas chasen v'kala, rejoicing with a chasen and kala, but again, he says, it has to be balanced. It shouldn't be lewd, it shouldn't be inappropriate, it should be wholesome, good rejoicing. Simchas yantif, on yantif, we rejoice over the miracles that Hashem did for us and all the chesed that Hashem does for us. However, the physical rejoicing shouldn't drown out the spiritual rejoicing of yantif in the meaning of the day. We should find simcha in the spiritual meaning of these days. And when we partake of the physical pleasures of yantif, we should remind ourselves that this pleasure is nothing compared to Olam Haba. One should have simcha when seeing those who are evil and bad. Those people are evil and bad when they find success. What? I should rejoice when people who do the wrong thing find success? Listen to this brilliant insight. He says, you should think about it. He says, if that terrible person is so successful and so happy, how much more so will be my rejoicing, my happiness in Olam Haba? How much more so will be my rejoicing if I do the right thing and I do the Ratzon Hashem? So open up the newspaper. Look to see which terrible people are doing well in life, and then you should rejoice and know how much happier you'll be when you do the right thing. And then he says you should be happy when other people are successful, especially in Ruchnius. You should rejoice when your friends succeed. You should be happy when your friends get into the seminary they want to go to. You should be happy when your friends do well and they succeed in Ruchnius, because that'll make them feel good as well. He says our full simcha, the last thing he says, that our full simcha should never be during these times. He says, there's no Beis HaMikdash, we are in Galus, our simcha will never be complete. Rather, we should save our fullest feeling and expression of simcha for Mashiach comes. As the Pasuk says, Az Yimaleh Tzchok Pino, only then will our mouths be filled with happiness. Yom Ruv HaGoyim Higdol Hashem La'asos Yimaleh, and the end of days when Mashiach comes and Beis HaMikdash is built, that will be the truest form of simcha, a simcha that we can't really appreciate until the time comes.